to the Fantasy Football Podcast Extraordinaire. This is the greatest podcast ever recorded. And we have me, Jim, Kyle, Heaps. We're your three hosts. Enjoy the next hour. Let it come into your ear holes.
Yeah, I don't know if I said it last time, but we're coming at you live today. We're all together filming in person instead of through the old interwebs, which is always a good time. I hope we can do this at least several times throughout the season. But we'll start it off like we always do from the Fab Bet results of last week. So I'm just going to say congrats to Lee, Carson, Richard, Jackie, Ashley, and Vicky. And sorry to myself, Hebes, Tiff, Jim, Mike, and Poor. You guys are idiots for picking my team. I don't know what the hell's wrong with you. I mean, it's my team. I had to pick it. But the rest is the other five of you.
I don't know if
you got dropped on your head or something, but something may be right with your brain.
I feel like whenever people pick, it's like the first three, four, five people will all pick one thing. Somebody picks something else, and then it's just a run on the other one.
I mean, I thought, yeah, they came in. I was like, I know everyone's voting for Ashley. I haven't won a game. My team looks fucking terrible. And then all some people started voting for me. I'm like, why? Why are you guys voting for me?
My problem is I'm contrarian at heart. So, like, I literally will sabotage myself. I think it's because I've been a Lions fan my whole life. Like, I just love lovable losers.
You love the self-mutilation, Jim.
But I will say, I think I've done this now, like, two or three times with your name, and I lost every time. So I need to get out of the bets with your
There's
name.
There's a lesson to be learned in the last 2 years. Don't bet on Kyle's team. That's for fucking sure.
Nope. Also, don't have him draft your team by the looks of it.
Yeah. I'm auto-drafting next year. I don't know what I'm fucking doing. I won the trophy 2 years ago. God damn it. Now
you're pulling the Belichick.
Now I'm fucking last place, and looks like I'm going to be last place again. I might be trading for picks in the very near future if I don't fucking win again this week.
Hey, my strategy this year is to have a really good bench so I can pick up draft picks for next year. Bring them.
It may be embarrassing, but tanking may be your best option here, Kyle. Yeah.
It's just
go all in next year, week three of the season. Like, you know it's done. Just
I put a lot of time and effort into that trophy. I don't mind keeping it for next year if I have to.
It is a beautiful trophy.
Yeah. Next section, the Malort shot. So last week we bet on the Browns and how many points they would score. I took 6.5, which I think I looked it up and Vegas had them, like their implied total based on the total and the spread for the Packers was like 12.5. So I was pretty generous this one, but I mean, I would have lost anyways. But I took 6.5 Browns scoring and the Packers had them. They fucking had them for 56 minutes of that game. They had 0 fucking points. And the Packers managed to blow it in the last 4 minutes and give up 13 points. So, Malort.
Joe.
If you want to phone for fun, Heaps, you're more than welcome to.
Yes, absolutely.
I know, Jim.
I can't let Kyle do a shot of Malort by himself.
I haven't had a Malort shot this year. No, I'm doing good. I had a pretty good run. Couple weeks of last year, I was just chugging that thing. And then I tightened it up. But I do agree. You guys gave yourselves a pretty rough bet there. And we kind of go back and forth with, you know, favorable bets one way or the other. So you can't really say I won that I think you gave that to me.
My two bets so far this year were the Giants beating the Cowboys, which they were like a 5-point dog.
They almost did.
And that was close too. And then Brown scoring 6.5. Grant, when I originally said it, what did I say it?
It started at 5.
Fucking low and managed to
it went up
my
6.5.
Six
I still think 6.5 was a good
six
line.
6.5 was fair.
I would have
that was a good line.
I think the Vegas line's actually great because I would have thought 13 would have been the number. I'd been like, okay, I think the Browns can get 13, and that would have been like anything over 13 was like, I don't know. So
well, they did get 13.
I think having said, I think Flacco's good for two tutties. He only got me one, but you know.
I thought they were good for two field goals, maybe. That's why 6.5 felt like a golden number.
Sure, yeah, looked that way.
I agree.
Yeah.
And then Quinn Chung.
It looked that way for 56 fucking minutes. 56 minutes and like 56.5 minutes, really. Anyways, we'll jump on to the next section. So we got the Fab spending. So there's going to be a common name popping up in this one, but the big spend of the week goes to you, Jim. $26. Quinshon Judkins. Woo. The next highest bid was $2. So a little bit of an overspend. Could have had him for $3.
I would have probably put about 50 into Quinn Sean Judkins.
Why didn't you?
Because I didn't think anyone was going to go over 20.
Because I'm stupid and let him go in the first place.
I don't know why no one really bid on him, because he had 10 carries for like 60 yards. The first game he came back, he literally was going to possibly suspend. He's not getting suspended, but that means he didn't play like at all in the preseason. Those players don't start. So the Browns literally showed us last week that we are going to do everything to make this guy our lead running back. So that's why I was like, okay, I just need another guy that has some talent, because I already had three really good stars. I don't really have that fourth guy in case I have an injury. So I really wanted a guy that I could trust. And the thing about fantasy, you always want to bet on upside, young rookie. Them showing that, like, in the first game he started, that they're just like, he's our starter, is, like, unheard of. So they are going to probably just run this guy into the ground as a rookie. And I didn't know how good he was. I haven't followed the NFL draft as much this year, but like I was just the whole situation. So that's why I bid. I honestly, like I said, I think he'd have been a $50 bid. Right now, I think what we saw after against the Packers, with how good you guys are saying the Packers are, and I pretty much agree, I would say he's almost like your whole bid if he was still there. I would have probably dropped $100 on him. After
he might prove to be worth it. Time will tell. But I mean, if they're averaging 15 points a week, though, I mean, then maybe not so much, because like, how many touchdowns is he going to get? Like, is he going to get every touchdown the Browns get when they're only getting one a week? Like, unlikely. That's my caveat for him.
Oh, yeah, that is definitely a strong stance, but like what he showed against the Packers, like, I didn't know much about him. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Joe Mixon. He's got the power. He can lower his shoulder. He can break easy shed tackles. But he's also got like the agileness and quickness of like a Joe Mixon, which big guys like that don't normally have that quickness. So like he's bigger, mm-hmm. He's quicker. Those guys, when they hit, are elite running backs. I honestly could not have probably been happier after watching that game. Like, I feel like he, just from what I watched, he has it. He has good vision. Now, maybe it's just a flash in the pan game, but I could see this guy being
like, he might be good. And it's the Browns, even when they have sucked, have supported good running backs before.
Chubb.
Yeah, Nick Chubb was excellent, and he was on a shitty offense.
I think this could be the same situation. I think he could.
It might be. Same thing. Elite defense, and we're going to run the ball because we don't want to pass the ball. We want to run the clock and keep the score low.
They literally stopped giving their other two running backs like snaps. Yeah. I mean, last week it was a little bit more. They had that guy I had, Dylan Sampson or something like that, he was playing more of like a receiver role, and he got like a touchdown and stuff. But like, they really, as far as the rushing carries, Judkins was getting them all.
He did look good. Second highest spending of the week goes to Jim. He spent $21 for Mr. Char Bonnet, who was on waivers for some reason. I don't really know why. The next highest bid was 13, so not as much of an overspend on this one, but you got another guy. I don't even know who drafted him. I should have looked, but I don't know why I was on waiver wires, to be perfectly honest. You have Ken Walker, so Charbonnet is a perfect pairing for you.
Well, remember, I traded last year for Barkley basically because Jackie had Walker, and I'm like, hey, you want Charbonnet? Is it Charbonnet?
It's Charbonnet.
Okay.
Yeah. Someone call him Charbonnet. In our first podcast.
I don't know if it was Charbonnet. I would call him Charbonnet. But anyway, that was like one of the reasons I made that, like Jackie made that trade, because like it really does make you feel good.
It does.
So like when I saw him come up, I'm like, okay, I liked Judkins the most. Obviously, I spent the most on him, but originally I had Charbonnet as my highest bid, and I had like, I think Judkins around like 15 or 16. And I was just like, okay, I need to get Charbonnet because I already have Walker. And after watching week one, like, I don't know why you'd even drop Charbonnet, because it was like, that was a really shocking week one. And like, we know how much I loved, you know, Walker going into the season. So yeah, I was just like, that was a no-brainer for me. So I just had to find a number that was a little bit higher than the rest. And honestly, I didn't think I was going to get him at 21, because I really wanted to make sure I get Judkins. And that's why I jumped my bid up on Judkins. I'm like, okay, I'm going to stay at 21 of Charbonnet. I don't want to spend too much more. And yeah, I'm happy about it. But it's more of like an insurance policy. It's not like like Judkins, where I think he could actually be a starter for me.
Yeah, it's a good – that's a very good – $21 to have a good backup that you know is the backup. It's not like a question mark there.
Well, taking a whole backfield is what they call it. Yeah. So like, I have the whole Seahawks backfield, which we just talked about Judkins. You know, it's really good to have a really good defense with a really good running game, because you can grind out games, and that's really what you want to do with elite defense. Well, that's the same blueprint the Seahawks have, but they have better offensive players around.
But Charbonnet is like a clear-cut backup. Sometimes you get those teams where it's like, I have the backup, maybe. Mm-hmm. It depends what the team wants to do when the guy goes down, and sometimes it doesn't plan out like you play it. Sometimes it doesn't play out like you think it will. And In Seattle, it looks pretty fucking obvious what's going to happen if Ken Walker misses time. Is Charbonnet?
I mean, he was drafted like in the eighth round because of that. Yeah. Because you know, if there's an injury, this is a third to like second round pick, and it's the same thing with like if he gets injured, you know, that just elevates Walker as well. So yeah, I kind of get the upside without much downside then.
All right, so the next highest spend in the week was RJ Harvey by Jim again for $11. There were no other bids.
Yeah. Honestly, though, I'm going to say this as like a, I don't know, it's like a warning, but like I think if you want to win fantasy at the end of the year, you guys got to start like looking at these type of players, because how you win, like this isn't a sprint, this is a marathon. And the way you win is you pick up guys who have pretty high potential. Like, none of these three guys should not have been dropped from their teams, and none of these three guys should have been, like, no bids like RJ Harvey. RJ Harvey is probably the biggest, like, question mark here, but this guy was drafted, I think, I looked at it, he's, like, drafted 60th overall. Like, yes, he hasn't started yet, but he's a rookie. Like, you guys got to understand, like, rookies don't always start right away. Mm-hmm. Harvey is definitely not someone I really liked, but I kind of put a bid in there because I was kind of thinking if I miss out on one of the other two, I'll get Harvey, and I just wanted some good, you know, lottery picks at running back. So this one kind of ended up happening at the end. But, yeah, you just want to take upside. So this guy was drafted in, like, the second round. Like I said, 60th overall. Like, this, they expect big things from this guy. So, and he also has a starter in front of him that is extremely injury-prone, who's, I don't think, ever even finished an NFL season. So I'm not crazy about Harvey. If I would have known I got Charbonnet, Judkins, I probably would have kept the money just because, you know, later in the season. But I'm not too disappointed in it. But he might be someone that gets released if I have a lot of injuries and I need to fill in for bye weeks. So that was probably the most egregious one. But I don't mind any of my bids here.
No, I can't say I would knock him. But $58 spent this week by you. You think fab money just grows on trees or what? Or it's okay not having any?
When is there a fab buy that changes your team after like week four most years?
Yeah, it's not common. I mean, I feel like it used to be more common, but people are pretty on the nose about getting players before the opportunity arises nowadays.
There really wasn't a big like wave wire winner last year. I don't remember.
Not last year. The year Puka. Before that, the year Nakua. Before that, I won the league because of
Puka Nakua. Yeah,
because of Puka Nakua.
And then I also dropped Achane, and you picked up Achane. Correct. And you had like three crazy games.
That was my whole budget spent on two players in the first four weeks, I believe. I think you dropped Achane in week three, and I blew the rest to get him after I had blown like 40 something on Puka. But same thing there. Like, Puka, is he gonna be good? I didn't know, but I was like, man, he had fucking like 17 targets in week one.
I was the second bid on him. I think I bid like 30.
That's a big fucking anomaly to me, and I was like, you know what? I'm blowing a lot on this because this is a huge upside.
What did you bid? Because I know I bid like 30.
I think it was like 40 something.
I remember being like, I don't think anyone's paying attention. Like, this guy's gonna be pretty good, and I bid like 31, thinking like kind of like the Judkins thing. Like, I'm going more than I think I need to just to make sure I get him. And I was like, damn. But obviously that was the right. I mean, talking about him, he's probably the best receiver in the league right now.
Might be, but yeah, that's the fab. There were a bunch of other small bids. I'm not going to include everything, obviously, because three waiver periods, people spending money on every single thing. So,
but again, go back to that just as like a strategy standpoint. Like, think about it. Like, these next couple weeks, there's going to be big changes that you can make in your roster that could win you the championship. Like, you know, this Quinshon Judkins one, that's a decision that could have just cost Heaves the championship and just gave it to me. Like, that's how good Quinshon Judkins could be if he continues what he did against the Packers, and he is what I think he is. That is what they call a league winner. So there's going to be more of those guys out there. There's potential for them. And sometimes they're like Achane, where like that could be like the Harvey here.
That was like the exact opposite for you that 2 years ago, Drop Achane, I get him.
Exactly.
That can be a championship swing decision.
So just keep an eye on that stuff, guys. It's important.
I believed in him.
Not enough to keep him on your roster, apparently.
Yeah, not enough.
Let's jump into the trade block section.
I say market for a nickel. How about 2 cents? Okay.
So we had a trade this week. Vicky and Ashley, they put something together. So Vicky sent Mike Evans to Ashley, and Ashley... Wait, Vicky sends Mike Evans to Ashley and gets Jalen Warren in return.
Vicky sent Jalen Warren to Ashley. Ashley.
Oh, so I have it backwards. Yeah. Okay.
Because Vicky asked me about it before.
Sure, sure. Anyways, it all seemed good on paper, but then Mike Evans proceeded to get injured on the very next game, so it seems like a huge bummer. But he'll be back this season. I don't know. It seemed like a good trade. Running back for wide receiver, always, you know, positional strength. You gotta shore up your team versus. You gotta shore up your own team in the way you need it. Mike Evans, I get it. He's been perennially good for 10 fucking years, but with Mbuka coming on like he has been, I kind of worry about Mike Evans this season. And Godwin's coming back. And now he's hurt. So, I mean, it's a good trade. I like it.
The example of what a trade should be.
Yeah.
I know a lot of times we have people trade, like, same positions, and, like, that never makes sense to me because, like, there's obviously a winner or a loser in that situation. But when it comes to trades, you should be thinking, like, how are we both going to improve from this? And that's what this was. This is Vicky having really no receivers and Ashley really not having running backs, and they both were sitting there. And originally they offered different things, and I told Vicky, I'm like, why don't you offer your lesser running back for Mike Evans and then give her one of the two? So I told her to offer Warren or Swift. I'm like, either one of those, and if she takes one, good for it. But, like, your other ones are probably worth more than Evans. So I'm like, that's how you get to that point. And, like, that's a trade that improves both teams. Unfortunately, Evans got hurt. You can't predict that stuff. That's the nature of fantasy. That could have gone the other way for all we know. And next week, maybe Jalen Warren gets injured for the season. You know, it's like, oh, this is the worst trade ever. But there's always a risk of that when you're making trades. So, but yeah, it was a very fair trade. I liked it.
I still have faith in Mike Evans. I'm not sure how long he's going to be out exactly.
So 2 to 4 weeks.
But
they said one of those bad things when you had one.
Isn't okay? No, I'm kind of scraping bottom of my barrel here, but isn't he going for some kind of NFL record?
I think he has the record already, but I think he's just furthering it. Like, most thousand-yard seasons. Yeah, I think he already has the record. He would just be adding on to it. So no one wants Mike Evans to miss out on that.
I
think Mike Evans is okay with it. Mike Evans seems to love Mbuka.
I don't think Evans is that selfish a player.
Week one, the game-winning touchdown that he threw to Mbuka, that Baker did, was supposed to be like a Mike Evans play, but Mbuka's like, dude, give me the fucking ball. I got this shit. Mike Evans is like, if he says he's got it, he's fucking got it.
And he certainly
and they fucking threw it to Mbuka, and he fucking got it. And it was Mbuka's a game-winning touchdown.
Really good. Tampa's kind of one of those teams really to watch good. Out for because they look like a pretty damn good football team right now, and they don't have Godwin or Jalen McMillan.
Good defense.
I mean, like I said, they've got two stud running backs. They're just hurting it offensive line right now. I think they're down two or three starters.
But when they're all healthy, they're a really good offensive line.
Yes. Yeah.
And like I said, like I think I mentioned it during the NFL episode, but yeah, I mean, the Jets blocked that field goal, fucking had the game in the bag, and then Baker's like, nah, fuck that shit. I got this. I got 40 seconds. More than enough time.
Baker's a man possessed.
The Browns could have
Baker
Mayfield, that defense, and three first-round picks.
I know.
That could have been three more first-round picks in Baker Mayfield. That is the worst thing I've ever seen in sports history, that trade.
Not even to mention the fucking, $50 million a year they're still paying Deshaun Watson to do nothing.
Because Baker Mayfield wasn't an adult. That was their
He wasn't quote. Mature enough.
Yep. He wasn't mature enough. They said he wasn't an adult in the locker room. I bet you go talk to Tampa Bay Buccaneer players. If he's an adult, I think they have a very clear answer.
Like, I seriously get the impression that every single one of those dudes on that team would run through a wall for Baker Mayfield because they know he's going to do the same for them.
Say the same thing about Carolina. They had him.
They had him as a scout team defensive end for shit's sake.
You had him as a fucking starting quarterback, and you just said, nah, not interested.
Well, that whole, I think
adios.
Is that whole regime in Carolina gone now?
Yeah, that was the Matt Rule regime.
Yeah.
If I were a general manager, I don't remember.
Yeah, and he's wasting in Nebraska.
I mean, Matt
Rule. Terrible decisions made by multiple franchises on Baker Mayfield. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
I've always loved Baker. I didn't really understand why they moved on from him, because even like that year that before they made the trade, it was like, he underperformed, but he like had his shoulder all fucked up.
Shoulder, yeah.
And he was playing with a hurt shoulder and just like, yeah, you're not good enough for us. Like, dude was playing with a hurt shoulder. Like, what do you expect? And he didn't play, like, horrible.
No. Well, that game for the Rams. But he fucking played. That game for the Rams in primetime when he just stepped in after, what, less than a week? And
it was a week. He literally got signed that week.
And a game-winning drive, yeah.
The only time I've seen anything like that, I think it was, like, Brett Favre when he, like, did something crazy like that once where he came out of, like, retirement and, like, played for a game. Wasn't that what, didn't Brett do that or something like that? And it was just like, how did he do this? Or maybe it was, like, with the Jets when he first got there. I don't remember, but I have hardly ever seen quarterbacks with, like a week of experience come around and, like, do stuff like that. Like, we were talking about just the other week, like, what's the best player to add for a single game? Is it not, it's not a quarterback. It's too hard to get on rhythm, but, like, he did it. Yeah. And that's the resurrection of his career.
Yeah.
That got paid.
Well, Bruce Arians was just on Pat McAfee, I would say a week ago, and he just had heaped nothing but praise on Baker Mayfield.
There's no reason
nobody
not to.
Has praise on Baker Mayfield, except for maybe like the Browns ownership and coaches at the time, because they have to justify their own stupid-ass fucking decision to let him go. Yeah, I mean, that's the worst decision made by a franchise that I can remember. And Jerry Jones letting go of Parsons is pretty dumb.
And that's like not even minimal. Close. That's not even in the same stratosphere.
Yeah, no, it isn't. And like you said too, like that year that he got let go, I was like, yeah, he had a hurt shoulder. But it's like, dude, he played all fucking year for you with a hurt fucking shoulder and didn't do bad. Now you get fucking Deshaun Watson who's like, oh, I stubbed my toe, I can't play this week. It's like, you fucking little piece of shit wussy. Fucking play the goddamn game of football. It's football, dude. You're going to get hit. You're going to be injured most of the season. You're going to have bruises and shit like that. And Deshaun Watson's like, he has had major injuries, but he's also had times when it's like, dude, that's not even a major injury and you're just not like, I can't play this week. It's like, dude, you fucking pansy. You're a goddamn pansy and you're a sexual
assault. You seriously can't tell me that the Browns would be like, God, if we only had Baker Mayfield right now.
Well, I'm sure they're all saying that.
Oh my God.
They gotta be.
Yeah. I'm sure the fans are. If you go look at
Granted, they might not be able to build their team up as much with Baker there because they would have not been the bottom feeding team for 3 years straight and getting high draft picks every year.
But most of the talent on that defense, other than Mason that we talked about from Michigan that he drafted in the top 10, was like already there or like they were drafted, you know, and I don't think anything egregious like or super early. I think it was mostly just like accumulation of like picks throughout the draft. Like they just still, yeah, there is definitely things about money, but like, they were like a Super Bowl contender the year before with Baker. Uh-huh. There was so much hype around him. I the most baffling thing I've ever seen by
a franchise. He brought him to the playoffs. The only fucking quarterback to bring the Browns to the playoffs in, what, 20 fucking years?
I didn't even understand it when it was. And it wasn't like Deshaun just came off of like a season. He didn't play for a year. Yeah. You literally traded for a guy who didn't even play for a whole year.
Did he not play, he got fucking benched for a fucking year. Like, he could have played that year.
Benched,
but the Texans were like, you ain't fucking playing for this team, dude. With all this shit going on with you, you ain't fucking playing for our team. And the Texans could have used him because they weren't good either. They're like, right. Nah, you ain't fucking playing for us. Fuck that shit. The Browns is like, how much money do you want? We have all of it. As much as you fucking want, for as many years as you want, and it's all guaranteed.
They saved the Falcons because I think the Falcons were the team that originally had the best offer. And then they offered, because Watson could pick where he went. And they offered, because all the deals are kind of like the same. They offered Watson the full guaranteed contract.
The guaranteed thing,
and that was the thing because they were going to lose out on it. They were going to lose out on it, and I think they had a knee-jerk reaction, just like we need it, we need to do it. And then, I don't think they thought that
that's
through.
That's so wild,
crazy.
We'll still be talking about that next year, probably.
When that's going to be his whole career. Over? Oh, Watson! I think he's still got like 2 years.
Yeah, I think he gets paid next year too. Absolutely crazy. But I don't know how I got on that topic. But anyway, let's get into the injuries.
It's happened a few times.
Yeah. So injuries. We have James Conner, ankle, needs surgery. He's out indefinitely. So that's probably the season.
He's out the season already.
Yeah, he's out the season.
Today. I wrote this up at a time when might not be the most current updates. Colson Loveland, the top 10 tight end NFL draft pick. He hurt his hip and missed the second half of the high-scoring Bears game, which is a bummer for me. Would have been great for him to... I didn't start him this week, but he is still on my team.
I don't know what the fuck the Bears... I gotta be honest. I don't know what the fuck the Bears are doing. They drafted him that high, and he's non-existent.
They did use him this game, though. He had a couple catches, I think.
Yeah.
He had at least one catch.
Tight end is the most challenging position to learn in the NFL. I will never hate on a tight end that doesn't start out good. It sometimes takes these guys like 3 years to really click.
That's true.
I think a lot of people get too worked up sometimes when these rookies don't pan out right away. Because, I mean, there's a lot of more success for rookies earlier in their careers than there used to be. Coaches used to be a lot more like, you ain't playing until you know, like, just the basics. Now it's just like, oh, you're the most athletic guy here. We're just going to throw you over here. I think Rob
Gronkowski ruined the tight end position right now for the NFL, I think.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants the next... look at Kyle Pitts. I mean, he was a stud.
You don't put Florida. That evil on Kyle Pitts. I fell for it again.
No, seriously. I think we've kind of seen like a revolution in the tight end position. I think over the last couple of decades. I mean, Tony Gonzalez.
I think the guy that changed was Antonio Gates.
That's fair. Yeah,
he changed the way they played tight ends.
He was not drafted, correct?
He was undrafted, but yeah. he was the best receiving tight end like we've ever seen to that point.
Oh yeah,
and it was dominated as a receiver. Oh, yeah. And it was just like, oh, we can just put a bigger, faster guy who probably should just play defensive end, but if he can catch, he can just be the most biggest matchup nightmare. You can't guard him with a linebacker. He's faster and quicker and potentially taller and bigger. In corners, what are you going to do when the guy's 6'5 and can box you out like an NBA player? Right? Like, that's just what it was. Yeah. I think like, Antonio Gates.
They're faster than linebackers. Yeah. They're bigger than corners. So it's like, dude, how do you cover these fucking assholes? Like, it's so hard.
That was kind of insane. You had to figure you had Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez pretty much at the same time, just wrecking. but yeah, it's kind of. I mean,
one murdered people though, so took him down a peg.
Talking about Ray Lewis, who murdered some?
Wait, what?
No.
Who murdered who? Wait,
who are you talking about?
Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez.
I was thinking of the Patriots running back.
Aaron Hernandez.
Not Gonzalez Hernandez. Yeah.
I mean, he was kind of a guy that changed the.
Yeah, he helped. I was going to say, if he wasn't.
He was that slot guy, because that was the thing.
He helped change the position, too.
Him and Rob got drafted the same year.
Okay. Yeah,
he's actually more of what tight ends are now today, is Aaron Hernandez outside of the killing somebody. I mean, he's joining the Ray Lewis spectrum there, but. Yeah, that's.
Allegedly.
Where's the white suit with all the blood?
I think they're just the tight end position has become much more valuable, I would say, in the last 10 to 15 years than it ever has.
Well, there's like different tight ends now. There's like receiving tight ends and there's blocking tight ends, which maybe there always was.
It used to be only blocking tight ends. Yeah. It was just like, okay. Jason Witten was like the best type of receiving tight end back in the day. Tony Gonzalez was a slightly better receiver, but it was like Jason Witten was a good blocker, a really good blocker, and he was also at the time
an elite receiver. Panthers too. He was the
Greg Olsen.
See, he was more of like an inline guy though. He was more kind of closer to Aaron Hernandez. He was kind of like that receiver guy. Like he had the speed and all that. And he was more dynamic as a receiver. So, but yeah, that was like what the top receivers were back in the day, but there was like less of them. Now, like that's the blueprint of what they want in a tight end. Like the guys who block aren't even starters anymore. Those guys are like third string tight ends most of the time.
Well, they come in. They come in for the plays where they need them. Mm-hmm. It's like we're doing this play, blocking tight ends come in.
Well, that's why I love Green Bay's tight ends, Musgrave and Kraft, because they both can block.
Kraft is getting good at blocking. Yeah,
I can see Kraft being a good block. He's like tenacious. Those are the guys.
He's not the best, but he's getting better.
Well, if it makes, like, with the Lions, our tight end, it was, like, he couldn't block year one, really.
Laporta's
actually one of the better blocking tight ends in the league. I think a lot of people were, like, complaining in fantasy because he didn't get as many, like, catches and stuff. That was because, like, he was a receiving tight end, and he didn't really block in college. And, like, they were like, hey, we're going to make you into a full tight end. Like, now he is blocking.
Well, I think his blocking skills were underrated at Iowa, honestly.
It was, Definitely, that was the thing a lot of people talked about, is like he had the technique, and it's like almost every guy at Iowa can block. But like, TJ Hockenson, we drafted him a couple years earlier, he was like the prototype tight end. Like he could be a really good receiver, but he was also an elite blocker, and he came in the NFL and he was like not even a good blocker. I would say that he was better on college tape than Laporta, but Laporta's been better in the NFL by far.
I agree. Yeah.
I think teams kind of see sometimes too the college players, like, you can catch the ball, we can teach you to block. Like that's you're big enough to do it. We know we can like show you how to do it. You haven't needed to do it, But they believe they can, like, show you how to do it. And sometimes it works out, and sometimes it doesn't. But
blocking, a lot of blocking, especially for receiving-type players, you know, when tight ends can be put in that, even though they're kind of more offensive linemen in some situations, it's a mentality thing. That's, like I said, Kraft, I think he could be a good blocker because, you know, honestly, Monterey St. Brown, he's probably the best blocking receiver in the league, and the reason is because the guy is mentality to be the best blocker in the league, and it matters. It really does matter when you're blocking. So I don't know why. I never played football, but it works.
Yeah. So we are still talking about injuries. We got on a little tight end tangent there, but CeeDee Lamb, his ankle, he says he can absolutely play this week. I don't know. We'll see about that.
But yeah, it's not going to happen.
That was a high ankle sprain.
Yeah.
There's guys that come back after a game, but if I had him, I would be really worried if he's playing after one game.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb is a badass. He plays through injuries, but, I mean, high ankle sprain as a receiver, like, if he's out there, I think he's a distraction. I don't think he's...
I
don't think he's playing.
He should be out 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I would have him probably a month. It's a high ankle sprain. Typically, don't feel right away.
I had heard 2 to 4 weeks initially.
No, he said he can play.
I would imagine, yes, you could play after 2 weeks, but for one, I don't think they have a shot at making the playoffs. No. So why get yourself injured?
He said he can
play
this week against the Packers.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
He probably just wants to play against the Packers for his boy.
Probably. We got Najee Harris, ankle, carted off the field. When I wrote this up, time frame was still pending, so I don't know.
He's done.
Okay, he's out for the season.
Confirmed by Jim Harbaugh. You can see from the play. I mean, when a guy falls over non-contact and then can't walk on it, that is an ACL.
So. We had Tyrone Tracy shoulder injury. I didn't have an update when I wrote this either on that one.
Cam Skedabu has looked as... he's
Cam Skedabu looked good.
He's looked better than Tracy has.
You got a new quarterback now?
Yeah. Skedabu is just one of those guys, like, you could probably knock him out, and two plays later, he'll be back in the game. Like, dude just balls. He just loves the ball. He's got a huge motor. He's just going to go.
Did you see, it was like last week, or it was not last week, the week before, where they had that really crazy game, and, like, they're going off, and, like, he got into Russell Wilson's face. He grabbed him by, like, the collar of his jersey and his pads. And you could see, like, Russell be like, who the fuck is grabbing me? And Skedabu was sitting there just screaming at him, like, pumping him up. And then Russell got into it, and it's like, I've never seen a rookie do that in my life. So I was like... At that point, he became one of my favorite players in the league.
That's the kind of shit that's going to get him a captain's... Like, if... that.
I'm the captain now.
Yeah, no shit.
That's what it felt like. Gets
Give
Russell.
Me that C. Yeah, no shit. And Russell Wilson's the one who's got the golden C on his...
He probably ripped it off in that moment. Yeah, that's no probably shit, why really. Russell was like, you're right, you're the captain.
And you never know. That could be very well why he got benched. Because... If you're getting chewed out by a white running back, dude, bro.
Black man!
Rookie at that position,
White rookie running back. You shouldn't even be on that position.
Next up, we had Mike Evans, hamstring. 2 to 4 weeks, sounds like, for him. And then we had Terry McLaurin, Scary Terry. He exited the game with a quad injury.
And he's now seeing a specialist, so that might be bad.
I have a funny feeling Terry McLaurin's going to get investigated for fraud for just raping the Commanders on the contract.
I don't think he's been good for so long with random fucking bum quarterbacks. I think he's good.
I think Samuel also has been used a little bit more, and I think they're trying to showcase that and also pull defenses in and be like, hey, look what this guy does. And that's going to open up
my
I've got Debo in my rookie league. He's good. They are using him exactly how they should.
Oh, yeah. They're using just like what his skill set was in the Niners. And I think he just gave up on the Niners, and now he's showing, like, hey, I'm still this guy. Because a lot of people are worried that, you know, he was done. I think he wanted to get out of there.
Well, I think that was such a great move by the Commanders to bring him in, because I think he's seriously going to shine in that offense.
He's a very good fit for them, yeah.
I don't know.
He almost had a kicker turn for a touchdown, too. Did you see that?
I did not.
Yeah. He was one tackle away. Yeah. Oh. So they're even putting him at kick return. So he's got that upside where he might get a touchdown or two this year just as a kick returner. So it's like, I mean, that was his, like, thing a couple years ago, was like, you could use him. He was used everywhere. So he just got points. Like, there was a talk that he was, like, the best fantasy player in the league when he kind of went off at his first year because of how dynamic he was as a runner and a receiver. don't know if he's quite that anymore, but even if he's like 80% of that, that's still like a top 12 receiver at the end of the year.
So you feel like the Commanders have so much potential with that team.
I still like, don't they see just, it.
Ugh.
I don't like their defense. I don't like it. I think Marshawn Lattimore, I think, is kind of getting to the end of his career. I don't know if
he's he's junk.
I don't really like their defensive line that much. They have some...
Oh, see, players. I just see... I like their front four. I just... I don't know. I love me some Jaden Daniels, though. God, he's fun to watch when he's on.
Yeah, I got to watch him in the playoffs. It was great.
You got to watch him week two. Looked like garbage.
Well, yeah, but it's because the Packers are elite.
That's true, yeah.
It's just a fluke game in Cleveland. It's just a fluke game.
All right.
Let's dominate next week.
Let's get into the matchup recap, what we all came to see. So first game, myself versus Ashley. Ashley wins 114 to 81.94.
And that's it?
I am getting to the point where I might be looking for trading for picks next year because my team looks like shit. My kicker, my quarterback, and DK Metcalf were the only ones on my team to crack double digits. That is not good. On the flip side, Ashley had three players that didn't crack double digits. Her defense, her kicker, and Jacoby Myers. David Montgomery, we all called him a reach in the second round, but man, he had a fucking fantastic game. 28.9. I already lost before that game even started. So the extra 28.9 was just a fucking punch in the nuts. I don't know how else to phrase it. But yeah, got my ass whooped. That was a bad one.
I mean, you're calling yourself a five-star man.
I'm a five-star man.
Not according to your fantasy team.
Well, my fantasy team is not a five-star team.
Pushing a five-star man, draft a five-star fantasy team. If you're five stars, you're five stars everywhere. Right now, your fantasy team's last 2 years, I think I'm going to have to go one star out of five.
You've gone from five-star man.
I'm a five-star man.
You've gone from five-star man to being addicted to crack.
You took the Bill Belichick way, you know. You're on the top. You had it all. You had the money, the Pokemon cards, the women. Well, you still have the women. You just don't have nothing else. Well, you got the other money, too, in that situation. But you don't have the money.
At this point, you better call your sister and just try and just get on welfare or something. I don't know.
Yeah, not looking good for me. We'll see how...
You had a good run this
week. I play against Jackie this week, and I don't see how I can beat her. I got to convince her to take the dive.
I mean, how long was it last year that your team kind of went down, too? It looked about the same time, huh? You've had a really bad 2 years.
Last year, I think it was week three or four when Mahomes took down his lead receiver.
It was right.
It was like the same situation where it was like, this year was the opposite. It was like, this year I lost my quarterback and my number one receiver. Last year I lost my number one receiver and my quarterback suffered for it. And I was like,
did the same strategy. Oh, my God. And yeah. The odds of like a receiver getting injured is really high in a quarterback. Like, that's why you draft receivers.
Well, I like doing a quarterback wide receiver stack, and it is more risky. Like, I'll throw it out there right away because, like, if one of the other gets hurt, the other one suffers. But it's like I try to play to win. Like, I don't play for fucking third place or fourth place or make the playoffs when my team sucks. Like, I'm trying to fucking
win. You just want a trophy,
and when you have a stack, like, that's how you win those fucking games at the end of the season. It's like, oh, Joe Burrow threw fucking three touchdowns to Jamar Chase. I fucking win the game. Because now I have six touchdowns because my team scored three touchdowns. And didn't work out this year, didn't work out last year, but what are you gonna fucking do?
I think your biggest hope is that Kansas City figures out how to run the football, so Isaiah Pacheco actually starts getting some points.
That sucks too, and then also
Drake London. Drake
London with Mr. Penis. Fucking,
you best hope they bring in Cousins and Cousins just starts launching the ball to Drake London 30 times a game.
Or the flaccid penis finally gets hard and throws some fucking balls down the field. I don't fucking know. Yeah.
Really, really hoping for the flaccid penis to turn it around. Yeah. It'd be nice to see Drake London have a season I think he can have, because I actually really like Drake London. That could be your chance, though, if he can start putting some games together.
Drake London has had good seasons. With shitty quarterbacks. He's kind of the same as Terry McLaurin we were talking about before. I was like, dude, he's had good seasons with shitty quarterbacks. Like, he should be good with a good quarterback.
Dude, you can't even, like, trade your whole team for, like, a decent quarterback. like a decent tight end. You have three tight ends, and they all suck.
Okay.
Leave my team alone.
Let's leave Lou alone.
Sorry. You lost two heaps.
I did. Fuck yourself. Wait, I didn't lose this week, but I lost last.
Maybe you didn't.
You lost when you released Quinn Judd Jenkins.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That is. That, yeah, one. Seriously, that might.
That was a bad choice. Yes. A bad choice. I really, when I looked at your team, like, I don't know why you dropped him.
Because he hadn't signed. And I was.
Oh, you drafted him earlier? I thought you dropped him like that week. Someone else maybe picked him up and dropped
him. I dropped him after week one because I was looking. I was reading all of the Cleveland like beat writing stuff, and they're like, we don't know if we're gonna sign this guy, because, and then all of a sudden it was bang, his suit was dropped, and then bang, Cleveland signed him, but by that time I had already dropped him. So
I thought someone dropped him after the 10 rushes.
You did that 1 year too, one of your earlier years.
Oh goodness,
I don't know what league it was, but you dropped a Saints wide receiver, Michael Thomas. You dropped Michael Thomas.
I did,
week one, and I picked him up. I was like, I'll take him.
I did. That was. And I think that was the last. That was the last season I ever gave up.
I don't think I won the season after, but I did really well that season. I was like, "Oh, this guy's so fucking good."
Yes, I do remember that.
Thank you, Heaps, for drafting him after 1 week.
I think I do remember that now. Actually, a little bit.
Like, I had faith.
That might have been your league, though. That might not have been this league.
I knew Quinchon.
Yeah, it was that league because it was early on. Because that Colston was still playing back then. I mean, that was the thought people. I know Marcus Colston is.
Oh, yeah.
So like, yeah, that had to be that league.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I knew Judkins was going to be good, but all the indications were coming out that they, due to his legal issues, no one.
Oh, he wasn't even getting drafted by the end of the
fantasy. Right? Yeah, it was looking more bleak than it was anything. And I'm like, okay, if there's one person I got to unload, it's probably going to be this guy because he might not play. And then all of a sudden he got signed, and then yep.
Yeah, it was nuts. Like, no one expected that from him.
It's like I had should have trusted my gut. Always trust your gut, people.
Yeah, don't give up on
Jesus.
Unless it's Kyle's gut. But
trust no, Kyle's gut. No, because I really liked Kyle's draft. I did.
It looked good on paper. About us?
No, it was a really good team. I was the one that rated the number one team in the league.
Yeah. I like the fact that he waited and took Stafford. I
didn't take Stafford. I picked up Stafford off waivers last week.
That was
I only had one quarterback idiot. Coming out of the
Stop
game.
Listening to me. Burrow. I'm incredible.
That's Burrow's replacement.
Yeah, that's fine.
Incredible.
Dude, there were like three quarterbacks. Someone who left two or three quarterbacks on their team.
Hey, I would have picked him up if I wanted two quarterbacks. Stafford also has, a lot of people think has two top 10 receivers, and people aren't picking Stafford to be like a top 15 quarterback.
Which the problem is like Kyren gets all the touchdowns over there. Like anytime they get down there, like, yeah, give it to Kyren.
And yeah, so, like, but the when lack you have of Adams and Puka, they're going to score a lot.
They'll be all right.
Stafford's going to be good. You've got a good pickup there.
Next matchup, we had Tiff versus Mike. So Tiff wins this one, 134.32 to 118.5. Tiff is led by Josh Allen, James Cook, and Cam Scadaboo. Two players over 20, and only the defense and kicker were under 10 for Tiff. So she had a very good week. As she tends to do with the old Josh Allen, James Cook combo. It's looking very good this year. If one has an off week, the other one has an on week. This week, they both had an on week.
Just by the watch, they're listening to a lot of podcasts over the years. The one thing I heard, because you're talking about like stacking receiver and quarterback, there's actually like statistics that actually prove that the better stacks are
quarterback, running back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Which actually, I would feel like it'd be the opposite. You know, I would feel like it'd be the receiver, but yeah, generally it's the quarterback, running back stacks are more effective.
It's more like volatile when you do the quarterback, wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like when you want to win the championship, you got to have the high scoring potential. Because you're against other good teams at the end, so it's like, yeah, okay, if my quarterback doesn't get any touchdowns this week, obviously my wide receiver doesn't get any touchdowns this week either because of that, and I lose. But it's like, whatever, I fucking lost. But I took the fucking moonshot of I got the chance at 12 points per touchdown instead of 6 points per touchdown or 4 points per touchdown based on if your receiver gets it or if your quarterback gets it. So yeah, it's more volatile, but like I said, I play for the win. I don't play for middling. I play for first or last.
Ricky Bobby.
And that's what I do. I take first or I take last. This year might be one of the last ones.
I feel for Mike on this one. Yeah, I think he had the fourth highest
scoring. Yeah, he had a good score.
Scoring week, it just, you know, Tiff has gotten really freaking good at fantasy football. All the props.
Josh Allen in the first
round. All the props in the world to Tiff.
On air, but...
Well, James Cook looking like he could be probably a top three running back this year. He certainly looks like he certainly got paid. It sucks for Mike with James Conner going down, but Omarion Hampton is going to be, he can slot in right there, and Mike's going to be just fine at running back. Because Dobbins certainly looks like he's going to be the guy in Denver so far.
His legs hold up.
I've always loved Dobbins. He's always been a great running back, but yeah, he's just unlucky with his injuries. But and Sean Payton's offense, he certainly looks like he's going to be the guy there. So I think Mike's going to be just fine at running back.
Yeah.
So, I think they're going to eventually move Harvey in more, though. I do think you have to worry about that, and that will cut into his workload. But yeah, I think he'll still be a relatively good starter. And like in today's NFL, there's almost always two starters on most teams for running backs. Yeah. And most of them can be fantasy, you know, relevant.
I thought James Cook, too. I had him like everywhere for the past 2 years. I didn't get him this year because he kind of like shot up the draft boards a little bit this year. He's always like a third, fourth round pick early
last year. I remember being like,
I think I took him in the third round last year.
But it was like early third. It was either late second or early. I was shocked when you took him.
I believed in him because I always thought he was so fucking good. But he never had fucking. He was averaging like 2 touchdowns a season for his first 2 years. But I was like, dude, he's so fucking good. But Josh Allen just gets all the fucking touchdowns when they're down there. Like, eventually, James Cook has to get some fucking touchdowns. Like, there's no way he can get 2 a year. And last year he had like 17, something stupid.
He had a lot of touchdowns.
He had a shitload last year. And I was like, so he shot out the draft boards this year, and I was like, I don't think he's going to repeat that. So I don't think that's like a, I think he's going to go back down to like, I don't think he's going to get 2 or 3, but I think he'll probably get like 7 or 8, because Josh Allen just takes them when they're down there. But so far this year, he's looked absolutely fucking great. I mean, he's had electric runs like he always has. He's looked great. And he's getting touchdowns so far this year, so maybe he will get fucking 15 touchdowns again this year, because he's on pace to have quite a few.
I mean, typically you just want any running back on a stacked offense, but if you can get a good running back on a stacked offense, like, I don't know if he's elite, but when you're playing with Josh Allen, who I've said for years now is who I think is the best quarterback in the league, you are going, well, in this situation, this is actually Josh Allen.
Yeah,
no, Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
I think it's a little like West or Wisconsin. But having like a really good running back on an elite team, elite offensive team, is one of the most lucrative things you can have. So it's working out well for her right now. I still think overall, like we talk about value-wise, like that could hurt her later on because like James Cook kind of has to be like almost like her first-round pick, quote-unquote, because even how good Josh Allen is, he's still never going to be worth a first-round pick. So it's like, is she going to miss out on having like good depth? Things like that. We'll see. But right now with Cam Scadaboo, or Cam, is this his first name? Scadaboo?
Cam Scadaboo.
Yeah. Scadaboo is his last name, yeah.
That's a big deal for her, though. That's going to be really good for her team, because even though she did take Josh Allen, who's almost like a safe pick to be a first overall pick, even though he's probably not worth that high of a pick, it's like you can't really mess it up, though. There's like,
See, I'm always torn on that, because Josh Allen could very well be the number one overall scoring player in fantasy football.
Whoever the quarterback is, it's either him or Lamar.
So that's why I never understood like how fantasy football drafts work.
Yeah, but the question why is,
it's value, because I can get...
Because like the seventh highest scoring quarterback is only like 50 points behind him. First, when you compare the wide receiver one to the wide receiver... I guess not really. It's the wide receiver seven, I guess. I don't know. I guess it kind of makes
sense. You go to the... Just even look at this. Wide receiver one... compared to wide receiver like 24 and quarterback 1 to quarterback 24. It's going to be different. Like, it's going to be the numbers are going to be much wider between the receivers. It is every year. So, like, you can get a replacement level quarterback for much cheaper than a receiver. Later in the season, you can pick up a quarterback. My strategy when I normally win fantasy leagues is I never touch a quarterback. I draft a quarterback in the last couple rounds of the draft, and I get someone like Jaden Daniels last year, who I think has a lot of upside. And if I hit on that guy, I have the best team in the league because I already have a stacked roster or I have a really good bench, and now I just grab a starter. You can't go do that running back. You can't go do that receiver. You can do that tight end. That's why. It's bad process to do it every year. If it works out, it's like she put herself in a position that she needs to hit on James Cook. She needs to hit on her third round pick because she kind of has like that quarterback already taken, and you kind of lose value on it. So you have to be really good at the other players. But again, she's done it so far. Her team's really good. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah, we certainly can't critique Tiff's strategy because she's just wrecking, and I'm not enjoying playing her next week at all whatsoever.
It's working so far for her.
What about Marvin Harrison Jr.?
He sucks.
Overrated.
He left like
I like neighbors more than him last year.
He left like 100 fucking yards on the table last week, just fucking dropping balls like an idiot. I don't know. Like, he was wide open for one of them. Just puts him in the hands. He's like, whoops, dropped it. Like, dude, you're top. What was he picked? Like top 15?
Four. I think he was fourth.
Yeah.
Fourth overall.
And then neighbors went like six. There was like no talk about.
I mean, he has neighbors' father. Set high degrees. I think that's really what
he's the guy who can play like Megatron. He can play over the top. He's towering. He's fast. He's going to win jump balls. And he can make a 60, 70 yard play downfield over two, you know, corner and a safety. But the thing he doesn't do is his hands are not as good as they were advertised. He's not as developed as a route runner. And those are like the two things. Like, if you don't have those, you're going to struggle. And I think people don't put enough stock into that. And then you look at Neighbors, who's drafting the same draft, exceptional route runner, exceptional hands, and was like, oh, this is just Justin Jefferson again. And it's like, I have no clue why people get so overfactuated with these super tall receivers. Not to say Harrison's going to be bad. I think he's still going to be a good player. I just think it's there's like a different mold of type of player that they look for. And like, he's like the flashy car and then like old reliable over here, but still somewhat of a sports car. I don't know, but yeah, he's had a pretty rough start to his career for what he was supposed to be.
Yeah, it's not looked good. And year one, I was like, maybe we put it on Kyler, but this, I mean, after watching last week, I was like, dude, he hit him in the hands.
Yeah, he dropped once, a huge touchdown,
and it's like, dude, catch the fucking ball, dude. Anyways, next matchup, we had Lee versus Jim. Jim wins this one 115.88 to 81.44. Jim, you were led by John Taylor, 31.3 points. With Ken Walker and Tampa Bay defense also having a very good showing. Lee kind of let down by his lineup this week. Garrett Wilson being the high scorer with only 19.4. A-Chain was second highest scorer with 12.6, so not a lot of good showings on Lee's team. Kind of shows by the score of 81.44. Not too many highlights on his side of the ball.
I was watching Thursday Night Football, and A-Chain had like seven catches in like by the second quarter, and I was like, what the heck is going to happen? I literally thought he's going to have like a 30-point game without a touchdown just because he's going to have like 15 receptions for like 60 yards. That he's going to be valuable all year because of that, but I do worry, like, this might be like the craziest running back season we'll ever see. He'll just have like 130 catches for like 800 yards. Like, Tua's broke.
What Kamara did last year.
Yeah, exactly.
And he might do again this year.
Yeah.
Dump boss.
That's all you need. It's literally just a nickel and dime thing. Yeah. Where it's just like, that's what A-Chan's going to be this year. And Tua, I think, his confidence is getting shot and shot more every week. So, like, I'm thinking the checkdowns are just going to keep coming. So, that's going to be a steady 15 points for him. But, yeah.
Next matchup, we had Heaps versus Vicky. Heaps wins this one 90.82 to 74.22, so a fairly low-scoring affair. Heaps only has one good performance by Cortland Sutton. Only two other players on his team cracked 10, including his quarterback. Javonte with the handoff to the Bears' defense. We were all raving on him last week, but dude still sucks. Malik Nabers scores 2.3 after his hot week 2. /week 1/season. I mean, 2.3, that's pretty bad.
Still better than Marvin Harrison Jr.
Somehow. Yeah. Somehow Vicky managed to do worse than this, though. Baker was the only decent showing, as well as Evans, but he just duds across the board beyond that. And then Evans got hurt. See, maybe he could add more, but at least he had a touchdown before he exited the game.
Hey, Jim. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Owen.
Owen who?
Owen 3. Vicky. Do better.
Oh, she's having a hard time.
It's not that bad to be 0-3.
She might have a worse roster than Kyle right now.
So it's me versus Vicky this year instead of me versus Ashley.
Like, once Evans comes back, and maybe I think what's that running back's name? Fuck, Janty. If Janty starts putting some things together, which I saw a stat, he has 144 yards. Or was it 144 yards? And he has 145 yards after contact. That's how bad the blocking's been. Like, all of his yards have been after contact. He literally doesn't have a single yard accounted for that isn't after contact from him. So, yeah, like, he's literally having to break tackles. Like, the Raiders' offense, that's horrible. So, I keep talking about, like, when these teams kind of mesh together, maybe they'll get a little better in the beginning of the year. Maybe that'll be where she'll come up. But, yeah, right now she's struggling. She's having a struggle with her running backs. She lost Evans already. So, she's in a bad spot right now.
All right, next matchup. Jackie versus Poor. Jackie wins this one 111.32 to 95.82. So Jackie is led by Chase McLaughlin. If you don't know who that is, it's a fucking kicker. Maybe we should ban kickers. They should not be leading your team in fucking points. Bullshit.
Kickers need to be banned.
I'm going
to
bring it up every year till forever. We'll probably never get rid of them.
Yes.
But anyways.
I'm going to hold the whole league hostage. I'm going to leave the league if we don't get rid of kickers. I have the power.
I will staunchly bond against kickers every year. Fuck kickers.
This is no longer a democracy.
I'll take the L and just draft every kicker next year.
No more Brandon Aubrey for anyone.
Yeah. But yeah, Jackie, she also has a good showing from Smith and Jigba. He had a fucking fantastic game. He really stepped up into the wide receiver one role.
Yes, he has.
40% target rate.
Yeah, as DK Metcalf exited, he's looked fantastic. Poor, he bet big on the Ravens this year, and they let him down big time Monday. Lamar, yeah, 7-6. Henry fumbled. Zay Flowers did nothing. It's a risky run when you go all in on the team. If they have a bad game, you have a bad game.
It's okay, poor boy. They didn't let me down.
I don't think that's going to be much of a problem for poor boy all season. Maybe he's going to be just fine.
Yeah, but, I mean, it depends who they play at the end of the season. Because if they're playing good teams and he's in the playoffs, and that's the Ravens true. Do what they do against good teams, true. Then he's fucked.
Ravens play against the Browns again and they don't get some turnovers in some short field distance and they score 14 points and that's in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't know when they're going to play them, but that's the risk. It's even like the Josh Allen, James Cook thing we were talking about earlier, or the Burrow thing with Chase. Like, if it's a bad game for that offense, it's going to be bad for you.
Yeah.
But when it's good, it's really good. So you do take that. And it's like he went to the extreme because he went receiver, running back, and quarterback all at the same time, which last year... Maybe Flowers wasn't that good, but if Flowers ends up having a top 20 season and you have Derrick Henry still at his top five and you have Lamar as a top three quarterback, it's going to be good for the whole year.
They'll win a lot of games this year. But yeah, I mean, the problem is the playoffs. If they have a bad matchup, he's in big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I only had Jordan Mason. He's looking fantastic. That was a great value pick for Port.
Yes. Yeah.
Especially with Aaron Jones out right now. And even with Aaron Jones in, Jordan Mason's been looking great.
Yeah, he's definitely the better of the two backs, even with a healthy Aaron Jones.
I was shocked that he was on the Vikings. This is how little I paid attention this year. Like, I didn't even know he was on the Vikings, and I saw him like, man, like, that makes a lot of sense. And, like, everyone knows how I think about the Vikings coaching staff. And, like, he was really good last year when he came in. He was the number one running back for a couple weeks. And everyone's like, I don't even mind that I don't have McCaffrey. Like, this guy's, like, 90% of the value of McCaffrey is. And he's probably in a better situation now than he was even with the Niners last year. Yeah, you got Jones coming back. But, you know, we're talking about Scadab would be a league winner. Right now, that is a bigger league winner if he gets to keep that job. I don't think it's going to be as lucrative because, again, Jones is coming back. But if it is... I think that is the spot I want to be.
Well, if they want to run the ball, Mason's the guy.
Yes.
If they want to throw the ball, Aaron Jones is the guy. But with that defense, they might want to run a lot more than they want to throw. And with their quarterback situation, they might want to run a lot more than they want to throw. So, yeah, that could be an extreme value pick.
Mason is a legitimate, like, top 15 talent at running back in the league. Like, he is a very good running back. Like I said, I thought he was still in the Niners. I thought he was just a backup. I was shocked. I did not know he was even on our team this year. Yeah, I was just shocked when I saw it. I was like, oh, that's where he is.
Yeah, I know the Vikings, like, legit traded for him. I just don't remember what they got, but either way, they definitely made out on that deal.
No, that's smart. Good. Yeah, they're a good franchise. They have so many good choices.
So they have Aaron Jones for and next year too, or is it just this year?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
It was probably like a 3-year contract. Yeah. That's a pretty common number. 2 years, typically the guy wants a 3rd year. So 2 years are pretty rare.
I feel like running backs usually will get like a year or two of like guaranteed shit. 30 is always the 30s, like a garbage of like,
if we it's cut like, you, hey, we lose, you're we lose better like than we thought.
$5 million if we cut you the 3rd year.
Yep.
Running backs don't get good contracts, which sucks. But that's the NFL right now. Last matchup, we had Richard versus Carson. So Carson wins 146.34, very high score, to 103.82. Richard, he's led by the Vikings defense, who scored 32 points. We talked about this in the last episode, yeah. Vikings defense is on fucking fire. Jalen Hurts, he finally lets loose this week. He scored 29 points. It wasn't just tush pushes. He was actually throwing the ball for once. Kyren, he gets back to form this week. He gets 18.2. On Richard's side of the ball, we had Gibbs, he had a fantastic night on Monday night with 24.4. And Pickens. Pickens had a pretty good game. And CD might miss time, so Pickens might continue to have a few good games here. I mean, he might be good all season, but if CD's out, Pickens takes a step up.
I'm genuinely surprised that Philly has waited this long to air it out. Like,
I don't think the Philly is going to air it out unless they feel like they have to.
Yeah, they don't want to.
I think their whole plan... Here's the thing.
I don't get that, because Hurts doesn't have a bad arm.
No, Hurts is a good quarterback.
But they have a game plan that works, so why change it?
True.
Same reason why they don't stop doing the tush push. They will not stop doing that until they have to. I think the one thing I love about Jalen Hurts, I think he's a really good quarterback. I think he has the dynamic of being, you know, this incredible running quarterback, too, that really elevates his, like, skill. But the thing with him is he always concedes to, like, the best play. Yep. He always concedes to, like, whatever's going to be best for the game, to win the game, more so than most players I've ever seen. Like, he understands his greatness is attached to his team. And I think that's what makes him great. So I think they're going to keep doing that until teams make him have to open up. Well, guess what? The Rams made him have to open up. Their defense is legit good. You have Stafford on the other side. They put up like 26. It was like 26-3 or something at one point.
Yeah.
And that's when I started watching that game.
That's when Jalen got called on to fucking start airing it out. And what did he do? He aired it out and he looked
fantastic. AJ Brown came to life and started ragdolling people. Yeah. he was the man amongst boys for a couple drives there. And I was just like,
it was like as soon as they needed it and asked for it, it's like, all right, that's what you need.
You no longer have to be worried about AJ Brown. He's back.
Well, for fantasy, I don't think AJ Brown's a bad player. I never did think he was a bad player. But for fantasy, I do worry about it. A lot of games, they will not need that, and they might just not do it.
There's a possibility
they don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
They'd prefer to just keep it simple. Run the ball, Jalen Hurts scrambles, and our defense is good.
The more the NFL has become statistic-driven, because the NFL was always kind of considered the sport where stats, you know, advanced stats weren't really a big deal. You know, there was the whole money ball thing. Baseball in the early 2000s, and like everyone's like, that can't be adopted in the NFL. Well, the NFL started adapting. Well, even the basketball had advanced metrics too that really stacked up, and the NFL never really had that. But now people are starting to look at the advanced statistics more and more. It's actually one of the things I love about Dan Campbell is the reason he goes front and forth all the time is because it's statistically the right play. And guess what? The whole NFL has been changing because of that, because it's obviously working. That's one of the reasons why Dan Campbell's as good of a coach as he is he literally changed the game.
It's kind of ridiculous what Dan Campbell's fourth down like statistics are. Like,
he is
like
a brilliant 60% coach. Of the
time.
And he gets,
well, he gets it so often, but if you think about it, it's like, how often can your team get 2 yards on a play? And you look at it like, we can get 2 yards like...
If you have an offense like the Lions,
it's like, how often do we get 2 yards on a play where we run a play? It's like, we get it like 85% of the time.
Drop
like
2 yards at dick least. On the field and be like,
how many times?
Like, why would we not go for it on fourth down, fourth and two? Like, we get 2 yards 85% of the time we run a play. Like, why wouldn't we go for it on fourth down, I guess, then? If it's fourth and two. If it's fourth and seven, that's a different situation. But it's like, fourth and two, why wouldn't you go for it? We get 2 yards 85% of the time we run a play. Fucking go for it, I guess. Why wouldn't you, I guess?
Yeah, back in like the late 2000s, early 2010s, how many times you talked about the Lions play up, won the game on the fourth down, fourth and two? No doubt anyone's going to say that Campbell's going to go for that. 10, 15 years ago, that's a punt every time. How many times have we seen Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford come back and win the game off of those? It happens all the time. It was always like you knew it was going
to
happen.
You punted to him.
That's why Campbell doesn't do that shit. Yeah. That happened to him once. I can't remember what the quarterback was. It happened to him in his rookie year. He punted there. I think it was against the Vikings. It was like a game that they won. And he's like, never again. Like, if they have a good enough offense and you don't feel like you can stop them, you have a legitimate opinion that you can't stop them. Even if you think you can, the Lions defense is still doing great. If you think you can make that first, you go for it. But going back to the Eagles, is I think they always make the right decisions. They're always looking at the statistics of it, and they're always taking the highest. But that's why they do the push, tush push every time. It's statistically, it gets them a yard almost every play. So it's just like keep.
Yeah, not 2 yards. Yeah.
Which hopefully gets removed from the game, because at this point, I don't even care that it's successful. It's just annoying hearing about it on every broadcast every week.
Well, now they're kind of looking at it like, oh man, they fucking false start every fucking time they do this, and they,
it's bad.
They're starting to show the slow moves of it. It's like, oh yeah, the guards jump every fucking time. At least one of them, if not both of them.
They just remove. They
should just like, we can't see that. If you slow it down, we can see it. It's like, I don't know. I feel like you can fucking see it. Like, I watch the Packers and you call a false start on the guy. It's like, yeah, he moved a little bit. You can see that perfectly fine. When it's the Twitch ports, like, we couldn't see it. It's like, dude's a fucking a yard past the football by the time the ball gets snapped. You couldn't see it. It's weird. And yeah, it's banned next year for sure.
Yeah.
They tried to ban this last year on safety concerns. Like, no one's ever gotten hurt in this play. Like, where's the safety thing? Like,
yeah,
I get it. It probably fucking sucks for all the players involved. I wouldn't want to be fucking just everyone shove as hard as you can to this guy and we're going to get piled on by fucking
either. I
1,000 pounds on top.
They're afraid of like getting rid of the quarterback sneak from the game, but there's like there's different ways to officiate a quarterback
sneak. Tom Brady always did the quarterback sneak. No one pushed him. Mm-hmm. He just went right underneath.
Right.
Slid under your center.
Well, they even had Goff do it this week against the Ravens. It was a normal quarterback sneak. He just like kind of ran behind the guard. You know? I mean, they're not trying to like make this like little like.
There's also like the you know the running back gets it and he kind of crashes into the lines. Like we have to call it immediately. Like another guy can't warm up and like. Is the running back still running, or is someone pushing him? Like, that's the question. So I guess if you're going to get rid of pushing, that's going to change other plays, too.
I feel like one of two things are going to happen. Either the touch push is going to get banned.
It's getting banned, dude. That's not a question anymore.
Everyone has to start doing it.
No one else can do it. Yeah, that's the thing. That's why I think it hasn't been banned yet.
If you look at the other teams that try to do it, though, they don't all fucking false start every time, which is part of the disadvantage. Is like the Eagles have realized, like, we get away with this every fucking time.
They push it. But they also perfected it.
They've realized, like, if he ain't going to fucking call us, we're going to fucking false start every time. We don't care. Three of our players are lined up off sides.
That's very true.
They ain't calling it. We're going to keep fucking doing it. Unless you start calling us for it, we're not going to stop doing it. And
well, do you know
no
what?
One ever called them for it. And it's like, but now we start looking, it's like, here's the ball. It's like, so the center can have his head in front of it. It was like, yeah, but your guards can't be in front of it. It was like, both your guards are and your tackles are like, right on the verge of being in front. I was like, dude,
I just
none of these guys can be in front of the ball. I'm like, I think all fucking four of them are, but you're not calling them on off sides. So it's like, it's like, what are you guys? But if the refs don't do anything about it, they're gonna keep doing it, and they have been. And it's like
teams have been doing that for years too. Because look at the Legion of Boom.
I agree.
The Legion of Boom literally changed how people looked at coverage because they literally were starting to like, you know what? We don't care. There's the 5 yard holding penalty. And there's pass interference. If I get a holding penalty, that's 5 yards. I don't care. Yeah, automatic first downs matter. But they were like, we can play this way so aggressive in the face of the receivers all game and shut them down. We're going to get the most pass interference calls, the most defensive holding calls in the league. But guess what? It's not going to offset how our corners can now be more aggressive and take out receivers way more effectively. So in the long run, they went out. It's kind of coming back to the statistic thing. It's just like, okay, it's not a big enough penalty to not do it. And even like if they actually do start calling the false starts, it will be. So hopefully the league does do that, because I know last week when I was watching that game, they kept hammering on like the first one, like it was really bad, and like why didn't the refs call it? Why now all these broadcasters and everyone's calling it out? I honestly think they're going to probably do something in the season and just maybe not remove it, but just be like, okay, we're officiating this way.
They said that last week. The refs were like, we'll be more careful with it. Because I think it was Tom Brady casting him last week. He's like,
Tom Brady, yeah.
He's like, that's a clear fucking false start if I've ever seen one.
He's probably been seeing it this whole time. He's just like, this is bullshit. He's like, did he lose to them? No. He lost to him when he never lost to John Hurt. So I was just saying, like, when they.
He didn't lose to the
Eagles. Oh, he lost to the Eagles, but he lost to the fucking. Big Nick Nick, yeah.
Yeah,
But Tom Brady's like, he's a fan of football. And he's like, I don't think this is.
It's not fun.
That's not his kind of football. That's for fucking sure.
There's so many guys that are.
They get on the 2 yard line and they call it three plays in a row. Scrum. It's like.
People have been saying that for a year. I think it was Tom Brady during the game against the Chiefs where he's like, that's a clear fucking false start. Like, look at the two guards both jump. They're like 2 yards past the ball by the time the ball gets snapped. It's like, dude, why is that not called? And I think when he said that, I think that's when sports media and everyone kind of picked up on it. It's like, yeah, this is kind of bullshit.
So that even, I think, helps validate what I'm thinking, is that they're going to, they said that, and they probably legitimately thought it, and then it failed miserably because they weren't good enough at it, and now they're going to have to crank it up a little bit more. Because they're not going to have the media just keep hammering on it all season. It's going to hurt their ratings, and I don't think they want that. I think they're going to eventually crack down this year. This is worse than it was last year.
I think it'll survive this season. But next season, they're going to do their vote, and it'll get banned.
Well, it'll be available to you.
Next year, they can play the thing of, like, the refs just can't. Everyone's too tight. We can't see it. And not only that, too, like, on the Chiefs game, too, it's like, they're in the pile, and all of a sudden, like, a Chiefs player has the ball at the bottom of the pile. It's like, We don't fucking know because we can't fucking see shit. Yep. And every time you guys fucking do this, which is like 7 times a game, we can't see shit. Like, we don't know what's going on. There's just a big fucking pile of people. Like, they did put the chips in the balls.
It's almost like a fifth okay, of the you got the first down. That's team fine. Runs in a game.
I know, but it's like it's nuts. We can see the pile. And it's like we know you got the first down. It's like who actually has the fucking ball here? Like, we don't fucking know.
No.
If he ever gets fucking, if someone ever grabs it from him right away before his knees hit the ground, like, you're never gonna fucking know. You're gonna be like, we have to assume Jalen Hurts still had it when he went down. Like, we, there's no way to know because it's a huge pile every time. So yeah, it's banned next year for sure.
If they win the Super Bowl on a tush push, I think the collective sports world will start.
Oh yeah!
I mean, oh my god!
Can you imagine if the last Super Bowl would have went like the last Eagles Chiefs game? It would have been banned this year.
Yeah,
but
oh, absolutely.
The Eagles just killed them so fucking bad. They're like,
yeah.
They might have tush pushed twice in that game. Didn't even fucking matter.
Did you hear the Chris Jones quote from that? Where, like, Jalen Hurts is lining up to, like, kneel it. And he's like, you guys don't have 100 yards. And Jalen Hurts is like, shut up. We won the game.
Yeah.
It's like, actually, there's a guy.
No, but there was a, before that happened, one of the linemen was talking shit to their defense.
Oh, okay.
He was talking shit to them. He's like, you guys fucking couldn't stop shit.
That's a loser mentality, though. That's like,
yeah, but the offensive lineman was like, you guys couldn't stop shit this game. He's like, we held you to 100 fucking yards. Yeah. And then Jalen Hurts like, we fucking won the game. It's like, yeah, but our defense did good. That's on our offense, dude. We still held you to 100 yards.
Still a loser mentality. Like, I didn't like that about Chris Jones. I saw a Chiefs fan.
I don't disagree. I mean, if you're a defensive player and an offensive lineman was like, you guys fucking suck, couldn't hold it to shit. It's like, we held you to 100 fucking yards. Like, what more could we have done? Like, that's on our fucking offense. Like, we didn't lose this game. The offense fucking lost the game. Don't fucking blame me. We held you to 100 yards and we fucking lost. That sucks.
Yeah.
But that's not on fucking me. That's not fucking Patrick Mahomes and whatever kangaroo court he has fucking taking catches right now. I don't fucking know.
God, I love. Nobody. I still love Kyle's prediction that the Chiefs aren't even going to make the playoffs.
They might not.
Fuck the Chiefs.
Either the Chiefs or the Ravens are going to be 1-3 after this week. One of those two teams is going to be 1-3 after
that
next week.
That should be our bet. We haven't put one out yet.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do that.
Oh, that's a great call, Jim. Chiefs,
Ravens?
Yeah.
Ravens.
I don't even know who I want to win it yet or who I think's going to win it.
Ravens.
I would like the Ravens to win, but I think the Chiefs will win.
Where is this game?
This is a Malort bet.
Yes.
I don't know where
bet.
It is.
Yep, this is the bet.
I don't know where it is.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah, you guys can find out.
Yeah. Jim's on it.
I take the Ravens.
I'm taking the Ravens either way.
Fuck, that's what I was going to take. I guess I kind of have to take the Chiefs just to make it fun.
I think the Chiefs might slightly have a better defense, but I think right
now... The
Chiefs
absolutely have a better defense.
I think right now...
But their offense is terrible.
Baltimore's offense is much better than the Chiefs' offense for some whatever reason.
This thing sucks.
Is Xavier Worthy back?
Maybe. He might be.
He might be, yeah. They haven't said yet.
Either way.
Show where it is. It just shows Ravens versus Chiefs. Where is it?
Who's the second team? Usually the second team is the home team.
Like, Travis Kelce decides to go bananas or something. I don't know.
It doesn't say like at. It just shows like something, and it's the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's at Chiefs. When do they play?
I'm guessing Sunday night.
No, Packers.
Arrowhead
are
Stadium,
night.
September 20th. Is
it Monday night?
Maybe it's an afternoon game. Chiefs Ravens. No, Monday night.
That feels like a primetime game.
No, Monday night's Jets-Dolphins.
Oh, my God. We should bet on that.
Oh, my God. How is this? No, they should seriously have flexing early in the NFL season. Our Monday night games this week are Jets-Dolphins and Bengals-Broncos.
It's because I didn't pay up.
Ouch.
Amazon took all the good games.
How about Jets-Dolphins?
320, okay.
Yeah, Chiefs, I was going to pick the Ravens.
Chiefs-Ravens
so
are
going to
be the CBS game.
So let's pick a different game because we're going to pick the Ravens.
Yeah. What about Jets-Dolphins? We could do something fun with that.
I like Jets-Dolphins.
How many turnovers in that game?
See, I think the Jets are going to kill them.
So I was going to pick the Jets too.
I would say the Jets will win, but how many turnovers are going to be in that game? Over under on like 4?
I'm looking at the rest of the other games. There's got to be a better one.
If you put 4, I'm going to say under.
3.5.
3.5 is better.
Ooh, wait, where is this game?
I might say over. I think 2 will turn it over
twice. Is that a game this week too? That's good.
I don't Eagles, know who the, I don't know Eagles, who the Jets
Bucks.
Quarterback is.
That, I think.
Eagles, Bucks.
That's a good one.
Where is this game? Shit.
I mean, I picked the Bucks in my pick 'em league. I think the Eagles look great so far this year. I think they got lucky last week
Where
against
is
the
this
Rams.
Fucking
I think
game.
The, I think Tampa Bay is.
Go ahead.
It's double
down on the hate from
It's
this
in
year?
Tampa. I'm taking the Bucks.
All right, take the Eagles. There.
Bucks, Eagles.
All right. I like
we
it.
We got Eagles, we got Bucks. Okay.
Jordan Davis is going to eat Mayfield. The guy's like 370 pounds and he runs like a 4.9.
All right. We got our bet. We got everything done. We're calling her there, everybody. Enjoy your Jameis Winston quote of the week and have a good night. Goodbye.
Have a good night, everybody.
Well, I just think we were prepared. You know, one thing my trainer, he told me, he said, what did he say? He just told us to be prepared.